Wait, Esther, do you get scared when it's just you in the house?
No, I don't.
Do you get lonely?
Esther's not afraid of ghosts.
Right. It's a good like dose of youth or something. Like I love when I'm anything that brings me back to a young moment. I'm just like dinner, like whatever I want dinner to be. I don't know. I'm not consulting anyone. And Dave would, if he was here, he'd be like, you never consult me and we never have dinner together. But it just helps.
I did send you a picture of my dinner last night because you were like, hey, asking about that recipe I talked about.
I'm very intrigued.
And you called it a hot girl food.
A healthy hot girl. It's not a hot girl food. It's healthy hot girl.
Healthy hot girl. But yes.
Okay.
She's making her own like chicken stews with ginger and carrots and cabbage. It's
get
like,
on board, bitch.
I know.
I'm doing it too. So you know it's the easiest thing to make too. It's you just get the pot and you just put them in.
I know. I'm like ready.
It does it for you. We got to talk about it.
About what? My titties?
What's happening?
I'm wearing a corset. It was
That's what it is.
Very hard to get
It's
on.
So funny that you waited for Dave to not be there to have to put a corset
on. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit betterhelp.com/trashtuesday today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trashtuesday.
Hi, slugs. I'm doing stand-up, and I'm coming to Miami and Atlanta and Raleigh. Get tickets at estherandice.com.
Hey, sluggies. I am on the road doing the Welcome to Anniewood tour, having such a good time. Please come see me. Draw your abs on, or I will draw them on with Sharpie after the show at the meet and greet. I will be in Greensboro, North Carolina this weekend. I will then be in Canada in April, Raleigh, North Carolina in May, Salt Lake City in June, and Calgary in August. I also have a lot more dates being added, so go to annieletterman.com/shows to check it out. And also, every Thursday is Anniewood, my show that you can listen to or watch on YouTube. It's my little solo baby. Please come party. I'll see you guys there. I don't want to be bugging this bitch in like 2 weeks to be like, because I'm on a plan. We're talking about eating. Like I plan out all my meals now, which is cool. I like cook them ahead of time. Don't
you
even
cook?
Think about food. Yes. Mm. Well, it's not hard stuff.
Okay. Hard stuff. I know we always make plans and all. I know. But I just want to say that I would really love to have like some sort of cooking tutorial hangout if that's ever an option.
I'll show you what I eat, but it'll be different for you. It's like on your
That's okay.
specific body.
No, I want to copy exactly what you have.
I get so fat because it's for my weight. I get obese. I'm getting skinnier.
I'm happy.
But I don't want people to, you know, I love to down that banana. I like to deep down that banana. I like to swallow it whole. I like to regurgitate it and eat it again. But I just am like, and it's not the sound
Wait,
eating
what?
Disorder. I love eating that banana. I love that banana break. I like to chew that banana. I swallow that banana. I eat that banana. Eat that banana out. I don't want it to sound eating disorder. It's just I'm on a plan. I'm so excited.
Everyone has an eating disorder. This is America. We were teen girls.
How do you
at
know
one
this is America? This could be Australia. That's, don't listen to this bitch, okay?
This is why I love my trainer. He tells me, like, all the guidance he gives me, like, for eating is, hey, eat today. Eat get your carbs yeah. in. Eat. He's always reminding me to eat. And I love that because he's like, this is going to be hard. Eat carbs today, Kalila. Carbs, which is very against what I learned growing up with the whole Atkins craze, the keto craze. He's like, no, I want you to be strong in the gym. Eat your carbs.
But
and
when
I'm
you
like,
were
fuck, I love him.
Like carb load when
yeah, always. But I never, I was a lean monster. You know what I mean? Oh, back then. So it's like,
wait, is it safe to say that every diet is all just like marketing and fake? Like when you
all
say,
the fads,
when you say Atkins, I'm just like, that was so.
And now you know
rude.
The brand, you know, the logo.
Yeah.
Of it.
And Snackwell.
That man did drop dead and they did cover that up.
Did he really?
Oh, can you?
Wait, what's the story of Atkins?
And then maybe we go to a Reddit post about it.
They're like, oopsies, our leader died. Atkins fell and hit his head. Oh, okay.
Yeah. He fell
on a sidewalk.
A massive heart attack from only eating cream cheese and beef. My mom and I did because my mom and I would do all like the fad diets.
Me too.
Cute though. I like.
But I mean, I would start measuring out. Do you know? I know the exact stats of ketchup. Like, because I would count the sugars in ketchup, because with Atkins, your first couple of weeks, you'd have to be under 20 grams of carbs, yeah. Right?
Do you see how your brains are fucked up from this lifestyle? Do you guys?
Oh, I know.
We're victims. We're all victims.
I know.
None of us are victims. We're strong, powerful women. We've got to rise above these victim things, guys.
And remember with Atkins, you couldn't eat fruit. All your veggies had to be high fiber.
Like, why am I eating cream? They'd be like, more cream cheese. You're like, more cream cheese.
Right.
Like, my body's like maybe one schmear a month. Like, I don't, my body, I know I'm from Philadelphia, but my body's not like, give me some cream cheese.
What about like way back before Atkins? I'm sorry. Did you guys not ever buy a box of those fucking delicious Snackwells cookies? Things. The foamy chocolate covered mm-hmm. soft cookies. And you think you can eat the whole box and that's completely fake and meaningless?
Oh, how about when I went, I think I must have mentioned this earlier, when I went vegan for like a week and I was like, ooh, vegan sweets. And I forgot it's like still sugar. Like it's
everyone
not that they like,
falls for it.
Oh, I was just the biggest I'd ever been in my life.
I can tell you my really unhealthy girl rituals is if I knew I was to party in Vegas in a few days, I would load up on the mag citrate. Bottles, the laxatives, and then I would take them 2 days before. I would lose like 6 pounds in water weight, feel really dizzy.
You're gonna
eat ayahuasca
with me, bitch. You're gonna diarrhea from that.
Diarrhea. And then I would do senna tea because I would watch my aunties be really hardcore into senna tea. And I think that's what threw me into like early colitis because it put me in such a state of inflammation constantly. It's so painful.
One time I was having a sleepover with a Victoria's Secret model and I went through her stuff when she was asleep and she had MAG-07. Have you ever heard of that? It's like what it's basically like helps you shit. It's like magnesium and oxygen. I thought that was magnesium.
It's probably the same. Yeah. It probably has the same laxative effect. Like I cannot, I would have to like
she said
allocate like a certain
for legal reasons
a certain window of time. I'd be like, okay, if I
also,
take this
we're not
today
sure this Victoria's Secret model she's talking about. No, Esther's gotten her way in.
Actually, someone else in the comedy podcast universe was also there. Rick Glassman. Anyway.
Was he going through her stuff too?
No.
That's actually like troubling.
No.
There's like a boy. Actually,
I kicked him out.
You may be more of a predator.
But we did bullshit like that. I would be like, oh, I have to take my mag citrate. I'm 48 hours from my Vegas trip. And now I have to stay home for 6 hours because I'll just be shitting for 6 hours.
It is like, it's like, the direction you swing with an eating disorder is like really like how controlled you, like it's all control issues, but it's like there's the other end, which I was more of a binge eater. Like I had trouble restricting. Was
me too. I had full, and I was binge eating, over exercising.
It all like,
yeah, they all, you do the whole rounds, the whole marathon of disordered.
That was the biggest takeaway when I went to an eating disorder treatment program was like, oh, duh, when you try to restrict and starve yourself, the pendulum will always swing the other way and then you'll binge eat. So if you just feed yourself like a human being you care for, you're not going to be starving and you're much less likely to binge.
And there is something I think a little bit more sinister that's happening. I'm seeing a lot in like my friend groups in LA, which is they are claiming allergies they don't have allergies because, and I see it, I'm like, oh, I can't have that or I can't have that. And they'll give like, I'm allergic to apples, I'm allergic to this. And I've seen them eat this in like loads before. And I'm like, oof, like you're starting to do what I used to do, which is try to justify why I'm not eating something because you're ashamed to just say, hey, like I'm actually disordered as fuck.
Yes, I see that a lot. And I was
gluten-free. I am, you know, and I'm like, gluten-free, why? It's like, is it? No, just because I choose it. And some people really are gluten sensitive, but a lot of the people that I know are not, because I see them down full gluten things that they're not aware of and they're perfectly fucking fine. But yeah, you know what I mean, right?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, of course. A lot of people do.
But you aren't that toilet. Maybe there's some diarrhea. There might be some squirty diarrhea you don't know about.
And it's like you start to replace one with the other. So it's like you get rid of, oh, I'm not purging anymore. I must be improving. But then you're now restricting another kind of food and then another kind of food. Yeah. You just do the whole
thing. I've always struggled with your sensitivity to dairy because it's always just made me feel like, how could this be? How could someone I connect so closely with actually get hurt by dairy?
I'm better now, though. I took so much time off that I can have it. I don't have it like a lot of it.
Okay.
Because I think I just like stopped having too much of a taste for it. But yeah, I let myself have dairy now. I just, before I would like diarrhea. I also had with eggs, I would throw up sometimes. If I ate eggs, I would just be puking, which it's so embarrassing. Because I'm never eating eggs like at a regular, I'm always like, it's like 3 a.m. I'm having fun with people. I'm having like, mashed potatoes, or I'm having not mashed potatoes, like eggs, like gravy and biscuits and eggs and shit. I'm like a late night breakfast bitch. So I'd be like having fun after a show. I remember I was on the road with Dan Soder once. And we're like just having this great time. And I'm like, see you guys in a sec. And I'm like, fuck the girl, like puking just
from eggs. Shit.
It's almost like my body was like, you're an alcoholic drunk bitch. This is the time period you would be throwing up at. But so I had to stop eating eggs for like 3 years. And then I like started putting them back in and I've been fine. Mm. But it used to give me like excruciating pain and then I would throw up and diarrhea. There was times where I was like smoking weed and I was like, you know, every day. And then I was like, can weed make you diarrhea? And I was like, it's eggs. Eggs. But yeah, I've been like putting it back in. I have like Greek yogurt and stuff. And I just try to listen to my body. And I really do try not to do the bullshit eating disorder stuff because I think what that was is just trying to have someone else's body.
Yeah.
You know, like trying not like listening to my own body. Yeah. Like what is my body? But I'm excited to be like, you know.
I remember when I was in high school, when I first started seeing my boyfriend, like we would hang out and we would have so much fun. And like I wouldn't have an appetite, you know, because I would like just be like on the high of hanging out with a guy I liked. And then I would come home late at night and I think this is like how my binge eating habit started. And I would be so hungry that I would like sit in the basement and eat like 4 bowls of cereal. And I was like, I don't know what my point is with that.
I remember
just happy times
on my high school boyfriend's waterbed, and he lived in the basement, and then going upstairs and just eating because we were so high. We were smoking out of like the 2-liter bong. And going upstairs and just eating so many ice cream sandwiches.
Ooh.
Just so, like, ice cream sandwiches are, like, in my heart. That's why I'm, like.
Those two things, though, just straight up cereal, bowls and bowls and ice cream sandwiches. Yeah. You're really speaking to me right now. That's what a great bingey food.
Like back,
where you been?
Like
Magic Spoon.
Lucky Charms in the basement watching Madonna music videos.
You know what's so funny? Todd eats like this still.
He does?
Yes. Todd eats like a 14-year-old.
Wait, so does Dave.
Yeah.
It's like a boy thing, I think. It's like they're self-soothing. They need their cereal to like remember cartoons.
No, I think it's just, it's not even that. It's like that they're just normal and healthy and never had to like banish those foods from their lives like we had to.
But the thing about, that's why intuitive eating's so good but it was funny. I remember listening to an intuitive eating book on audio with my parents when we were driving back from Boston and we stopped at a grocery store and we were like, oh, we're allowed to eat these things. It was one of the best memories that I had with my parents. We binge ate so much shit together. It's just funny. My dad, I think that's another thing too, where it's like, I don't get mad at myself too much when I do binge eat because it like is like fun times with my dad I had where I'm like, this can't be bad if we were like laughing.
Yeah, it was tied to a good memory.
And my parents were always like fighting and throwing things down the garbage disposal and like laughing and just pouring soap on each other's cake. Like it was always very funny.
That makes me want to be adopted.
It was really funny.
I like my sort of eating disorder adjacent happy memory is like going to Walgreens with my dad. And like, obviously sometimes we would get candy, like a lot of the time, but sometimes we would go and we'd like stand in the candy aisle and be like, okay, which one would you get? And he like, no, I'll do a Twix. Well, no, I'll do a Sour Patch. Well, no, that's a waste.
Oh my God. You window shopped?
Yeah.
Candy?
Yeah.
Wait, guys, I'm on mushrooms. I forgot to tell you that.
Right now?
A very little bit.
You micro?
How little?
I started to feel very little, like a cap and a stem. Like
that's
drivable.
Not a micro.
I don't. It was pretty micro. That language. Cap and stem. What
do you do?
I do like, I have gummies. It in chocolate, so it's like
chocolate.
Yeah, well, if it's in a chocolate or like a.
That's a danger zone for me. Yes. Don't make it taste good. I'll be like on the wall. Like, am I on the ceiling?
I think it's like she had like a couple of the chocolates.
It was nothing. Yeah. No, not a couple. I don't even think it would be a couple.
What?
They're very tiny.
When did you take it?
Couple hours ago, because I don't want to say this out loud because I don't think it's real. I don't want to let it be real, but I've been having like little tiny inklings of my cluster headaches, like little.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, I just want to start doing, that's why I'm like laughing. I'm like microdosed, like, isn't this funny? Just little, but I think it's not happening because I've done so much work structurally on my body and with breath work and stuff and tape that fucking mouth shut at night.
Do you really do that?
I haven't done it in a while, but I have to do it again because I was reading, like, some of it's, like, connected to sleep apnea. They just can't figure out what cluster headaches are. But a lot of the studies are, like, and they have a whole thing called Cluster Busters, which is a whole website and chat thread for us.
Cluster Busters sound heads. Like they taste really good and you can get them at Dairy Queen.
I want a cluster bust in your mouth.
Wait, that's a good name for a hemorrhoid cream.
Cluster Buster?
Because they come in little grape clusters.
Didn't you guys ever get a peanut buster parfait at Dairy Queen?
Okay. I mean,
Dairy Queen came a little late in the Philippines.
Oh. Yeah. Dairy Queen, listen, Dairy Queen was very early in my life.
Yeah.
But I'm loyal to Butterfingers and mint chocolate chip.
Blizzards.
So, yes, yeah. That's what it was.
Okay, fair. I was very loyal with Oreo Blizzards for a long time too.
I had my thing. I said, why would we switch? But then I started, honestly, when we started this podcast, it was just around that time. I was like, I'm going to start getting things I don't usually get. And I've been really exploring the world now, guys. But so I just have been taking, it's just the second day I'm taking them just because the way that I've read that it works, and you know I've only skimmed, so who knows. And I usually have cluster headaches when I have them, so I like can't look at the screen. But is that if you start with microdosing mushrooms, you can really knock it out. But if you start by using the meds, that the meds block whatever it is that the mushrooms will do. So I'm going to just do this.
What is the meds?
There's so many different ones that they give and none of them really work. I mean, it's really crazy. But you can do like a steroid pack, which will give you like shadow headaches where it's like not the full pain, but I know the exact length of how long they would be.
How are you feeling on the microdose? Like,
I'm feeling great.
Do you feel like I would say like whenever I do it and I feel it a little, it's like a little happy and a little more awake.
Yeah. I feel
that. Oh, I might need that. It's very small,
but I'll bring them next time. I forgot I was going to bring the bag and be like, anyone in? But just a little bit. Because I have like a scale and I was like weighing it. And someone had said like a gram. I'm like, I'm not taking a gram of fucking mushrooms. It's too much.
I don't want
to be like thinking about life and death and time and
yeah,
the continuum.
Space time.
We can go there if that's what you need today.
Yeah, I'll go.
I'll go there next time. I'll take a macro.
Something really bad happened to me.
Again?
I believe. Oh. Over and over.
Another?
And over again.
Doctor did what?
Put your kids away. If you're at home, put your kids to sleep now.
You guys.
Did it involve you not being able to shave your legs?
Trigger warning. This involves theft and fish.
You got stolen.
I had somebody like mail me jars of like tinned fish that he had just caught that was like a really prized fish, and it was FedEx to me, and it said it was dropped to my front door.
The new house?
Yes. And I believe I looked all my neighbors' porches and nothing. And so someone stole my fish.
I thought you were saying a stalker left fish.
Oh. That would be fine.
Well, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That is also sort of what she said, too.
Yes.
A mysterious man with prized fish.
I told you we weren't supposed to read your poem you got.
But this is a really sad thing for me. Like, I was really looking forward to receiving, like,
I know, but you know what?
That fish in jars.
New diarrhea or something.
I know it's not as good as, like, the From a Mystery Man, but we can always get you some fish wife.
I was feeling a little bit like, are we seriously talking about tin fish and not bringing up our girl?
Oh, that's right. Caroline.
Yes.
Fishwife.
Maybe this is what you were being disloyal and the Lord.
Well, this is not tin fish. This is jarred fish.
Here's the thing. Is he never fishing again? Can he not do it again?
He's fishing again tomorrow. And so, but this was like a really, really good fish, you guys.
Well, I told you guys how that happened to me where okay, this is so hard to explain. Todd's sister-in-law's brother.
Oh, yes.
Is an artist, and he sent me these prints, and it got stolen easy. So I was going to send them again. But at this point, it is like, should we just call it a...
Yeah,
I'm... Just take my money,
Well, it's like, my hope is that someone enjoyed it, you know, and someone ate it with her.
It's a funny thing to steal.
But it's a very great thing to steal. It's food. It's delicious. Like, and you see it, and you're like, oh, that's good.
Do you have a camera, ring camera?
I do.
But it wasn't on.
It was not at that time. Anyways.
Okay. So this weekend, sorry.
That's a good euphemism for being molested too. Your fish was stolen.
It was. My fish keeps getting stolen.
No, just whatever fucking fish. Also, packages have been showing up again to me. It's weird.
From what? Where?
Things have been stolen and then reappeared recently. It's very weird. And also, I have like a locker system at my apartment. And I will go get a locker and it'll be empty. And I'll be like, why is this locker empty? And then they'll be like, oh, we put it in the wrong locker. We'll resend it. And then it won't ever be sent again. I go, what was this thing? There's just mystery things. You know, I wake up in the middle of the night and just order.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Which I love. I love middle of the night behaviors.
I binge shop.
Yeah. Yeah. So this weekend I went on this random Saturday morning Beverly Hills mansion garden tour. It was me and a bunch of old people. But it was this woman, Virginia Robinson. And I guess she's like one of the original, like basically founders of Beverly Hills, like this amazing sprawling mansion. And one thing that I didn't know is that the reason why a lot of movie stars like inhabited Beverly Hills is because Glendale and Pasadena and all the other neighboring towns they didn't want movie stars to live there because it was like still vaudeville times kind of. And so it's like those places are not filled with celebrities and like rich people because they look down on it. Isn't that crazy? Like Beverly Hills was just like liberal and that's why now it's all old people, but I don't know. I was really fascinated by that.
Yeah, and then comedy is the lowest rung of celebrity, too.
Yes. Yeah.
We're the joke of the jokes.
But Pasadena has a very – because I – that was where I lived when I first came to America. It was Pasadena. It was high school in Pasadena.
Celebrity.
But Pasadena has a – and Altadena has a very rich, weird history. That's where guys like who, you know, would experiment with like LSD or like L. Ron Hubbard's from there. Or that's where they had their little cult meetings, Altadena. But Pasadena is very much its own thing. And I can see – it is, but it's very like old, like rich money, like old money. And I can see how they would look down at Beverly Hills. But like, I would never look for a home in Beverly Hills. It's so not hip or cool. It's like all your neighbors would be, I don't know. I don't see it as like a cool place to live at all.
You know what's so funny though about how there's cults and stuff there? It's because old money, like when people see old money, they go, ooh, how do I get some of that old money? Better start a cult. Like, how do I trick these old rich people into giving me their money, this money that's just been passed down to them? Recirculate all that rich people money?
I think that's a thing that people outside of LA do not realize about Beverly Hills, because I know when I thought of it, I was like, oh my God, all the rich, young, hot people, Paris Hilton, whatever. But since I've lived here, like, and me and Benji, we used to hang out at his parents' office in Beverly Hills, and we would always joke, like, that's how I can be the youngest, hottest woman in LA is by being in Beverly Hills, because everyone is elderly.
Yeah.
It's basically geriatric. An elderly community at this point.
Yeah. Betty White was living there.
Yeah.
But you know where it's all about now. It's the Hidden Hills, baby.
Oh, yeah.
You got to go behind gated community. Got to get behind the gates.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially because we are always growing and changing. I don't know about you guys, but I wake up a new person every single day. And that's probably a mental illness in and of itself.
I was going to just say it's diagnosable. Go to your BetterHelp person.
I am, every minute I'm alive, I'm embarrassed of everything I did up until that minute. So
then now you need to go to therapy so you can let that go.
Yes.
That's unhealthy.
Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and your understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want. We don't know why we react the way that we do until we talk things through.
And with BetterHelp, it's really as easy as filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Everyone's doing therapy now. Everyone's getting better. You don't want to be the one not getting better. And this is just the easy way to do it. You don't have to wait in line. You don't have to find parking.
No, that's the thing.
About traffic. It's just, this is the way to just get in, you know?
That's why I'm so jealous of people who are in their 20s now that have access to this, because that was such a thing getting in my way. Like finding the therapist, finding the office, something that's close with parking. Like the fact that this is all done online conveniently is so huge.
Yeah. I mean, mine were always like the college counselors, and you're like, you're the same person that's seeing everyone. Your son's in my math class. I saw you at the Christmas party. Why were you Santa? Why was I sitting on your lap?
Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/TrashTuesday today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TrashTuesday.
Wait, can we just how did the house tour happen?
I am weird now.
This doesn't seem weird.
Oh, okay.
This right. Seems on brand.
Oh, I would do this. This is something we could have vlogged.
I saw it on a TikTok and was like, I need to go there.
The fact that your life is like a choose your own adventure TikTok.
It is. It really is, Annie. You just nailed it.
Fans want to, they think we don't have chemistry anymore. It's because I don't have TikTok. I don't know what the fuck she's talking about. Ever.
Wait, the other thing on the tour was so weird. So basically like it was obviously a very old, like nice house. And the doors, I don't know if you've ever seen this, like those doors where they're double wide, not double doors, but it's a single door that's really wide.
Oh, I like that.
And she's like, does anyone know why the doors were so wide? And it, like me and all the 90-year-olds were like, no. And she's like, it's because it's so they could bring the coffins in. I was like, what? Did you know this? Like basically in the old days, you would have your funeral like in your own home. So your coffin would literally come to your house and everyone would come and like, you knew this?
Yeah, it's awake. Yeah, that's how we do it in the Philippines. You do the wake, the coffin is in the home. Yeah, what do you mean? That's not normal?
Maybe that's our next live stream, is our funerals.
Oh, how cute.
I love that. Okay, we're doing it. Promise?
Yes, bitch, you're dead.
You on mushrooms?
You're dead.
I'm going to take advantage of you while you're in a good mood.
I'm in a good mood. I'm always in a good mood.
Pull your pants down. I'm in a good mood. Pull your pants down and close your eyes.
Since my home downgrade, since I've moved out, I no longer have a bidet and it no longer self-flushes. So I've had to relearn how to flush toilets and it's been a struggle, you guys.
It is hard.
Usually it's like I just, you know, do my business, get up and walk away. And then now I have to do all the things like I've forgotten to do, which is like look and then flush.
Wipe.
Yeah, everything because there's like, no bidet.
Itchy and doo doo.
I'm like cold because my old bathroom had the seat warmer.
Yeah. I know.
It has a massage. Everything, you know? So now it's like.
Okay, first, treat yourself one. Get yourself a new toilet seat. But also, who cares? Leave it. You're asserting your dominance over your new space. Leave that piss and shit in that toilet. Let the place know it's yours. You're marking. I do that and I always don't flush when I first go into a hotel room to assert my dominance.
Bobby admitted on Tiger Belly recently that he's been actively marking me.
What?
And that every time he knows I'm on a phone with a gentleman caller, that he intentionally barges into my space to say, hey, babe, are you going to make me that pasta? Like he's always, and he says that it's his way of basically saying, I'm allowing you to talk to other boys, but they better know that Papa is number one.
Okay, first of all, I think every single girl should have a recording of a man saying, hey, babe, are you making me that pasta? So they can play it in the background of calls to intimidate guys.
But they know what Bobby looks like. So then they're like, I'm not so intimidated.
And so that was basically he was saying. He was just like, I know these guys are taller, better looking than me. So he's like, this is my only way.
But I eat pasta way better than them.
Yeah. And basically it's like, this is my only way to assert dominance. And I find it so funny. Like every time he does it, I'm like, I have tears in my eyes. I think it's so funny. But I don't know. What do you guys think about marking people? Do you guys do the same in your own way?
You know what? Dave will often bring this up. Like literally over the last 10 years, I'm always a little bit more affectionate in public. He's always like, you're always touching me in public. And it's never conscious. I'm never like actively doing it or I'm never thinking about it. And I think suddenly I'm like, oh, is that what it is? Am I just like showing everyone that
this
like
is my man?
Yeah. But I don't know. I
wouldn't think it was kind of hot if someone hit on him. I don't mind that.
You know. Yeah.
I don't either. You know me.
I trust
Well, blown cuck.
I'm like, oh. Yeah.
That has happened once and it did not go well.
How did it go?
I wasn't cool. All right.
Let's hear
just
about
leave it at
maybe
that.
It's cool. It's who you were. It's cool.
I wasn't cool.
Like how? I want to know.
There was a girl who was just really flirty with him.
Was she hot?
No.
Was she cool?
She a writer or something?
No. Did
she have something that you didn't have?
No, I would just say that, that it was someone and I felt like it just went, you know, my flag went off and I was, it was just not cool.
That's fun.
How did you react?
Started a big fight.
What did you say?
I can't. But that's enough. I was just like, that bitch fucking likes you, dude.
Do you want better, more views?
I was like, that girl likes you. Stay the fuck away from
her. So you started fighting. I don't know why I thought you were like,
wait, Esther, this is so relatable. What are you talking about? This is so relatable, especially when someone says, oh, no. They were just being this way. And you just know it in your head. I'm like, no,
yeah.
I know this person likes you. And it's one of these things where like when, if a partner were to say the same thing to me, like, hey, that dude fucking likes you. I never try to say no. I'm like, yeah, he probably does. No, you're probably right.
You just give in.
I give in because it's like, I don't know, but also like you're sensing something. So I'm going to acknowledge that.
And let you shift that to them.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I get that.
If you deny it, then they're like,
they're trying to keep something from me.
But okay. Me and Dave, I think, are so not used to that I really do believe, because I relate to him, that he did not believe that that person was into
him. But didn't you feel kind of excited when you did it?
I think now I can look back and be like, oh, that's cool. That bitch wanted my man. But in the moment, no.
But he must have. I bet you there's a little part of him that was like excited that you were like fighting for him.
Annie, and that's where you're very, very wrong. Dave is not like, and I'm like that, and you're like that, and I fucking get it. Not Dave. He did not like it at all. And you're just say I was not invited back to that job because of what I did.
Well, it can sound.
I was after a job. That's so
funny. It was at his workplace.
Well, because if you think about it, it's like, well, because here's where that makes sense, and it's good you said that, because it's a relationship that exists somewhere else. Right? But you were a good girl for not being causing the scene with her.
Yeah.
And you went home. And then he was like, all right, now you're going to be weird at my work. So you can't come.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Goodness.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So this thing just happened to me after when Bobby and I broke up, and there was like a lot of speculation about like our relationship, why it ended, blah, blah, blah. People had their theories, and a friend of mine contacted me, straight up friend, just a friend, and basically said, hey, my ex-girlfriend sent me this thing on Reddit basically saying that you and I are a thing on the side. And I'm like, what? He was like, why is my name being dragged into this? I'm like, I am so fucking sorry. Like, apologies, whatever. Anyways, his ex-girlfriend, he says, is like kind of like a crazy person. Right, like, why was she deep in the Reddit, fucking, yeah. Why was she going through my shit anyways, right? And basically people like thought that he was a guy that I was like hooking up with, and I really like thoroughly apologized. But then she wasn't wrong, because something about what she said planted a fucking seed in my head. And about...
Sorry, Scotty, the seed wasn't planted.
a whole 10 months after like Bobby and I like broke up and everything was settled, I was like, why am I thinking of this person? And then I ended up like hooking up with him.
Ooh, I want to know about this. I'm getting horny.
I know.
But what I'm saying is that like there is a thing about like you're going to end up together. And I guess that his ex-girlfriend was like, I know you. I know you. I know you're fucking Kalila on the side. And he was like, what the fuck? But it also planted a seed in his head. He was like, wait, why aren't I fucking
Kalila? Also, you're being a crazy bitch. So now I don't need to like... You no longer, she's no longer a person.
Right.
She's falsely accusing him of something and not letting him tell her the truth.
Yeah.
That's no longer a person that's like trustworthy for him either. So then he's like, I don't have to be loyal, because they weren't together anymore, right?
They don't. No, they but also the craziest part is they were dating 10 years ago. So he was like, what the fuck, bitch? I don't even talk to you anymore.
Wait, really? She didn't, they weren't.
They were not friends. They were not speaking. He blocked her. So she emailed him a Reddit thread basically saying, I know you're fucking Kalila. And he's like, what in the fuck is going on?
This is just like what
on Reddit.
What my life would be like if my high school ex had things about him on Reddit. So dark.
Yeah. And so I think that she was keeping tabs on him so deeply that it ended up, she ended up finding out that I was his friend. But she's kind of a witch because she, I think, planted two seeds and then we ended up like hooking up.
She sounds like a creative genius.
I think so. Thank you. Whoever you are.
Manifesting.
Yeah. We're going to find her taking pictures of Esther on this. Put your coffee up.
She's on my team now. I've recruited her.
Do you feel like you have a team?
What do you mean?
Do you feel like you have like a team of people? Are you building one kind of?
I feel like that, like, yes, but always in my life. Like since I was like five, I've had a team.
How about you?
Of friends or just people who build
like that
me
you
up?
Work with that you well I guess you kind of have a team
yeah I like working in a team. It makes me feel like
it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I had that on my last ayahuasca thing. I was like, I love my team. I have like a good team. I like all the people I'm meeting. I'm like putting
I was never made to be like I was a swimmer, which is an individual sport, and I hated it. It's just you, yourself, your own failure. No one can console you. You beat yourself up because it's just you in the water.
You never did relay?
Relay was always fun for me. Relay was like, oh yeah, I get to actually enjoy and play around.
Swimming. Have you been swimming?
No, because of my shoulder, my shit shoulders, guys. Come on.
Sorry, frozen.
That was like, Anna. So I was originally did improv in college and like at IO in Chicago and stuff. And then when I moved to LA, that's what I wanted to do. But I had no friends. I didn't know anyone. That's why like stand-up made so much sense. Because I'm like, oh my God, you don't need anyone else. But now I'm like, oh, I miss the fun of like a team and making.
Are we starting an improv troupe?
I did that.
It's called Bloodbath.
I had an improv team with Rick Glassman, Aristotle, Melissa Villaseñor.
But how long ago? Like 10 years ago?
Yeah, a long time ago. Sandy Danto was on it.
Guys, if we start doing live stuff.
Improv?
You could improv.
Really? You think that
you
I have.
The straight man. All you got to do is the straight man.
I can.
Just yes and, bitch. That's all you got to do.
I'll yes and the fuck out of it.
Every single scene is like about us being molested. Esther's like always behind the gate.
Wait.
Childhood trauma again. I told you what happened when I started doing improv, right?
What?
I had the opposite thing. Okay, so when I first wanted to do comedy, I wanted to do stand-up, but I had moved back to Philadelphia. I didn't like know how to do it. Like I didn't know about mics. I didn't know. So I looked up a comedy class thinking that it was going to be a stand-up class. Did I tell you this?
No.
And it was an improv class, the Philadelphia Improv Theater FIT. And I wanted to join it, but I was like so nervous. I had no friends or anything. So my dad was like, I'll join it with you.
That's so cute.
I did improv with my dad.
That's insane.
Did he crush it?
He was good, but he ended up quitting because... He was like, knew I really wanted to do it. And he's like, I know that you're not being like your full self while I'm there. But he also was like so sexual all the time. I was like,
oh yeah, that's right.
Like a weird, like why is like now it's like you're trying to get the girl to put her tongue in your ear or something. My dad's like me tooing everyone. I'm like,
just your average James Franco class.
Oh my God. When me and Benji like found out we were going to do Alone together and we both were like, oh, we want to like improv a lot. And we had not done improv in a while. So we were like, let's sign up for UCB 101, which we thought like that would be a good idea. It was not. It was so awkward. We were like 10 years older than everyone else there. And everyone afterwards was like, wow, you guys are really good. And we literally didn't go to a second class.
Well, 101, like, the thing that's crazy about 101 is it's like any... 101 is just like a guy that works at an office whose friends are too stiff. And he's like, okay, I'll go take this. So it's like everyone.
It's not the way to prepare for like being in a show. It was so awkward, but very funny.
But improv is actually so fun. And I think doing it first, because I never would have done it. Like if I knew, thank God, first of all, I didn't just start with the stand-up class. I know it's worked for a lot of people. I know that, what's his name? Jim Gaffigan started in stand-up class, I think.
I would have done a stand-up class, but I was dating Tony and he was like, you can't do a class.
I know. It's like, I mean, the person I am now would be like, Annie, what are you thinking? Improv? But it was so helpful. It really helped me with my like stage presence and all that stuff. But I was so like tight. And then I ended up dating my improv teacher.
Oh,
lucky.
It was actually, he was so mean to me in class.
Reenactment, remember
Dr.
Drew?
It was so hot. It really was like, what's that?
Right.
We just reenact our traumas.
But he didn't. Yeah, he didn't. He didn't assault me.
Yeah.
He never jerked off. Yeah, so it's what like, if I did make him like, can you just jerk off right here? Nope, that was too high.
Is there a world where if you did reenact that, like, what would that be meaningful to you at all? If like Todd jerked off on your leg?
You know, I think I would be not. I don't know that it would trigger me, but I never know with my, because I've done like so much work on myself, but it's like sometimes you just like a trigger comes out of nowhere. You're like, oh my, I can't believe that's fucking triggering me. And then you're like, all right, I have to figure out what triggered me there, like what that was, because it's something that I haven't.
Well, a real trigger for me is when like I go from 0 to 60 and I don't know how I got there, why I'm feeling already that fucking like hyped. And like, it's almost like.
Are you able to trace it back?
It takes a while.
Because you have to get back to like a regular.
Yeah, like I'm all fully heightened already. Yeah. So it's going to take a minute. I'm so clouded. My vision, I have no sense of like reality in that moment.
Yeah.
I'm just like fully physically in fight or flight.
I have a question for you guys. Like when you said you don't know, like sometimes you'll get triggered and you'll be like, oh, I can't, like that was so random. Do you still judge yourself when you're triggered? Like, do you get upset about it, or are you able to be like, oh, I'm that's the thing I'm working on. Like, oh, I noticed that upset me. Or do you get, or do you still have to stop yourself from beating yourself up?
I get conscious of when I'm beating myself up. So it's like a little bit the same thing, right? But so it's like, I start to beat myself up and then I'm like love yourself. Like this, you're just, it's not like excusing the behavior, because obviously if I flip out in public or if I yell at someone, that's abusive, you know, it's like not okay. But it's like, you know, clean it up as much as I can and then have grace for myself, where it's like, where grace. It's so silly.
That's grace such a great word,
but
though.
It's true. Yeah. But it is, you know, just be like, all right, like I, you know, I forgive people when they yell at me, you know, like I go, okay, yeah. that was their thing or whatever. So why would I not do that for myself?
Same.
Yeah, it's so annoying when you realize like every issue you have in life is just you.
I know, it's so
it's annoying. So awkward.
It's hard though.
But it's, you know, my favorite feeling is when you come around to that full circle of like accountability, mm-hmm. where I'm like, I fucked up there, mm-hmm. and you say it out loud and then you like, I apologize. Like I just snapped at somebody last week for no fucking reason. I didn't know that I was close to my period because it came like 8 days early.
Yeah, it'll let you know.
Yeah, but I didn't know, right? So I was like, I'm...
Everyone around us always knows before us. Last to know. I'm the only one not crying, but I'm also crying. Why is it that?
Oh my God.
And I fully ripped this person's head off. And I was saying things like, you're so fucking judgy. And I just being like such a
fucking... And like a judgy
fucking,
voice. Like, you're so fucking judgy.
And he was being so calm and really... And afterwards, like, I was just, again, I beat myself up. I'm like, why the fuck did I act like that? And but I came back around and I was like, look, bad attitude. I have had a bad fucking attitude. I am so sorry. Like, I'm so ashamed of myself. Like, but that feeling alone of being like, I just take 100% accountability is so like releasing.
Do you guys, okay, I saw this on a Reddit thread and I totally disagreed with everyone. does knowing that other people can hear you having sex make you want to have sex more? Because for me, the answer is fuck no. Sex is like so private. I don't want anyone hearing or knowing anything about it.
Even Dave.
Yes, yeah, I locked the door. He's on the other side.
Put the CPAP on. Literally a little gas in the CPAP.
But like so many people were like, oh yeah, that makes it so hot if people can hear.
Follow up. Does hearing other people have sex turn you on?
No, it makes me feel left out.
Oh my God, you don't want to give FOMO to your neighbors?
Well, like, basically, it's like you're not natural, like, exhibitionist.
But I am, kind of.
Maybe you're a voyeur. Because I'm a voyeur. Hearing people have sex really turns me on.
I like it. It doesn't turn me off.
Would you ever strip? Or would you ever, like, do, like, a session at a strip club? Because I know you kind of get, like, you just are so, like... You come alive when you're dancing and performing
Thank
for
you.
People. But would you ever do it naked? Like at
Probably,
a strip club?
Yeah. Yeah.
So just throw a dick in that. And that's all it is. Just throw a dick
but
in that.
Do you, like, would you
Here's the thing. I was a drunk, so I was like sucking dicks in bathrooms and shit. Like,
if you knew your neighbors could hear you.
Not my neighbors. I wouldn't want that. I would be quiet. But that's hot to be quiet. It's like reminds me of like fucking when your parents are there. You know, you want to be like not in the room. But
I'm kind of
a teenager. It's like fun to be like.
I don't get off on the idea of being heard. I get off on the idea of people possibly hearing me and me having to keep it down. Like in your parents' room. So like hotter, if you're like, like if I... You know, if I'm sharing like a space and I know someone's in like the bedroom over or whatever, and my partner kind of just being like, shut the fuck up is really hot to me. So
why have to be so mean?
Why can't they just be
don't like, you wake my fucking parents up, you fucking bitch.
But yeah, like just being loud, just being an exhibitionist like that does not get me off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that that point it's a little performative. Like I'm too focused on the way I feel and being really present.
Yeah.
And
do
like,
you really like to get like talk shit to when you're fucking? Because I always have, I've had boyfriends in my life that do that. We might've talked about this on here, but I'm always like,
No, I don't. I love sweetness. I love when I know you hate this. I don't know if it was you or you like. I love the phrase like making love. I like when dudes say they're gonna make love to me. I love it. I know that most people hate it and it's such an old person. It
feels fake, like where I'm like, ew, don't try to like, it's like they're like reading me a
book. No.
It feels like old fashioned.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I wanna make love to my girl. Like if a guy says that to me, like I'm so just like, oh.
Yeah.
I feel really soft and like in the old fashioned like.
I prefer make it. I like when guys are like, I wanna nut.
Ew, that's also horrible.
I love when I'm fucking a guy. This is from my like Northeast Philly white trash waterbed shit, but I do like when you're fucking and someone's like, I'm about to nut. I'm like, okay.
Oh.
I'm like, you are.
Oh.
Their chains are like hitting me in the face. Ow, ow. Your grill. I can see myself in your grill.
I definitely like conversation.
White boy grill.
Oh my God.
I do like what my favorite thing is watching guys like when they're about to come, like seeing that extra weird scooting they do is really cute.
Trevor, me too. Actually, I don't want to talk about Todd.
Can I show you what it looks like? Cute. Okay, because it's just this.
Todd's pre-cum face is very cute.
It's very like this, right? But when they're close, it becomes a really awkward scoot. It's not cute. They don't look cute, but I know it's, you know what I mean? So they kind of do the, you know what I mean, right?
Yes, yeah. Because it's like they're out of control.
They're out of control.
I feel that's awkward. So like I have to pretend like I know what you're talking about because a guy's never come with me. Like, yeah.
They don't want you to have it. They're all gatekeeping. The kingdom of sperm.
No one will let me have their sperm. It's so sad.
That's why they use condoms so you can't have it. It's not because they're afraid of you. Like, she's not getting this. They have someone take it away. They're like, take this away quick. I don't want her to look at it.
Esther, you've never been nutted inside of?
No, I have.
Oh.
But I'm just,
not
I was.
Not for keeps.
It was. No, I definitely have.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, I've had to go.
There's a little tiny elephant in the room.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
There's a little peanut-sized elephant in the room.
You know, it depends. There's certain boyfriends where it's like you got to be on the pill for them because that's where they need to go. And there's others where like that's they don't need to go there.
The pill is such horseshit. What?
I know.
It feels like fake. Like, I'm why would you so make done. Something that does this to us?
Oh, the pill?
Oh, I like, listen. When I tell you I've never been suicidal, I mean I've never in my life considered once killing myself, except I was on one drug and it wasn't that I wanted, I was like punching, I was so mad. I was so self-angry and it was all this pill.
Birth control or no?
Yeah, no, it was Prozac, no. No, it was birth control. I can't remember which one it was. Maybe orthotricycline.
Yeah, birth control fucked me up. It did make my skin look really clear, though. But it made me like...
I've never seen you with bad skin.
Thank you. Oh, my
God. You
got to
get the high-dose glutathione. It only lasts for 2 days. Mm-hmm. Your face is like...
Really great.
What is that?
Also, I get facials where they do lymphatic draining.
Oh, that sounds like it feels really good.
Yeah. But it also, like, it glows you up.
Face, like... I always think I want a facial and then I get one and I'm like,
this is too much cum. It's can I keep it? Can I have it? And they're wiping it. Quick, get it off her. She's I see her. You keep it in the side of your mouth, like in your, like when they check to see if you took your pills in an insane asylum.
Wait, Esther, should we pull?
Decker, lift up your tongue.
Okay, so I do know how to identify healthy and unhealthy sperm. I can identify a broken neck in a sperm, whether or not it swims well. Yeah, because I've been on sperm TikTok.
Maybe you are a broken neck sperm and that's why you have a fake neck injury.
Oh my God, it's fake. It's based, I think it is like a stress thing. My neck injury.
Why are you nervous?
It is better now. Do you guys like where your birthday falls in the calendar?
Yeah.
You do? Why? Like, what's your case for it?
It's just like fun outside parties. I was always, we always, and it's like with summer. My brother. But I think my like luckiest thing in the world is that I was a twin born at midnight. So then I had like individuality too.
That is so crazy.
I had like a friend, like someone with me, but we weren't like.
I'm suspicious. I think that, how could that be?
It's true. 6 minutes apart at midnight.
Wow.
It was 11:58 and I was 12:04.
I've realized, so my birthday is March 2nd and I think it's like, it's good because I feel like I got most of the year at that age and then the new year comes and then I'm like, okay, I got two more months in to like savor this age and this year of my life. But the only thing is because it comes right at the beginning of March and February is always a short month, it's like everyone always forgets it. Me coming up with a reason why people forget my birthday.
That's a belief. That's a belief in there.
But it's just that nobody likes me.
It's just you get 16 candled every fucking, she doesn't know what that means.
I don't.
The premise I've been of 16 candles is that a cake place?
It's a frozen yogurt shop in Pasadena.
Okay. Makes sense. But yeah, no, she like wakes up and it's her 16th birthday and she's like, oh, it's going to be so annoying. Everyone's going to be like, it's your birthday. And everyone forgets her birthday. Everyone totally forgets her birthday. Is that your like dream or nightmare?
That's a good question.
Because it could be a good like thing to hold on over people.
Okay, I like that. I genuinely don't like holidays or birthdays. So an ideal birthday is like no one really knows and it's not awkward.
Because of pressure?
Yeah.
Well, why do you feel pressure?
I feel embarrassed when it's my birthday.
I had that when I was like 4, so I can relate to it, but... No, I used to feel that way where I was like.
Wait, Esther, how did your parents celebrate your birthday growing up?
I don't remember. I know like when I was a teen, I would have like sleepover parties, obviously.
Rick was at all of them, which is so weird.
Sleepover parties?
Yeah. You didn't have sleepover parties for
everything?
Yeah, we had sleepover parties.
With teachers and our doctors.
Do you like where your birthday falls on the calendar?
No, mine was a pretty shitty for me growing up because November 1st is the Day of the Dead in the Philippines. And so the upside is the whole week was a holiday, like a federal holiday. Downside is that we always spent it in the cemetery.
Welcome to the world. This is where you'll end up.
Yeah, basically watching my uncles like get drunk over like my deceased like family members, like tombstones, gravestones. So it was never about me. This was usually the time like when typhoon season would really roll around. So like electricity was usually cut off. We'd be like have like candlelit home for like.
You're like, please God, month. Can I just have lights for my birthday?
And then coming to America, everyone's so focused on Halloween that it's right. Sort of just like, but, and also the time change. Over here, what made it really bad for me is that this is when the clocks fall back, right around my birthday, and it's always when my depression hits.
Wait, your birthday answer is so traumatic. Like, there's so, you're still going, like, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
A lot you're there. Like,
let's wrap it up. wrong question.
What about now as an adult? Like, do you like that day or what's your relationship with the day?
The same as it's ever been. That's why I try to go hard on my birthday. So it's like kind of like not forgotten.
I love my birthday. It's so fun. It took me a sec, but it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's what I lost in my birthday because it's July 20th. I never got to like have cupcakes school. In school.
Yeah.
I never got like school attention or anything, but it was fun.
But
like,
summer birthday is the best, I think.
It was fun, yeah. And now it's cool too. I always try to like have my birthday with my family.
Yeah.
It's just,
isn't a July birthday kind of like the dream? Because then it's like your halfway point till Christmas, you get some presents. Like it's spread out evenly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
For me, it's kind of annoying in relationships because it's so mine is so close to Valentine's Day that I'm like, you gotta both still count, you know?
Well, you
give me one sperm then and sperm after.
Have you guys read the book by Malcolm Gladwell, Outliers?
Yeah.
Like birthdays matter.
I read it.
Like I read it.
Birthdays can be a really big advantage. Depends on when, depends what month of the year you're born, especially in sports. So it's like, I think that people should be, well, that'd be weird, right?
But that means like your age you are when you go into a season.
Yeah.
Like what grade you're in, like
range. Yeah. Because it can really determine even how you stack yourself up against your peers, like in that same grade or in that same age division in sports, because you're like, am I bad or am I just young?
Right.
Am I really good or am I just older and more developed? Because there is such a big jump in your physical development at that age, like 11, 12, 13, 8 to 9, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, having been in sports, like, as long as I was, like, I definitely felt it.
Yeah, I was, we were at first, we were the youngest ones, and then we got held back, and then we were the oldest
ones. You got held back?
In kindergarten, yeah.
Why?
Well, my mom told me, she goes, don't tell anyone. So, I'm like, not the secret keeper. But I guess at first it was my brother had learning disabilities and they didn't want to separate us. So they were going to have me go to first grade, but they decided to keep us both back. And then like second grade, they're like, oh, this bitch can't read. They're like, oh shit, look at me. Holy fuck, this girl cannot sound it out. And here we are now. I could still be in second grade. If reading was the thing, I could still be in second grade.
Wait, how fun does that sound to go back to second grade? I want to so bad.
She makes one movie with Adam Sandler.
Wait, what was that one
movie? Better watch his movies, bitch.
I've seen Billy Madison. It's so, so good.
Do you remember the premise? It's like his grandmother. This is my explained premises of movie episode.
Yeah.
Where he like goes back. I like that. That is funny to like.
It's cute.
Yeah. No,
it's like kind of like.
The dream.
To just finally crush it.
Well, would you do
I was thinking I could do like, I could definitely like, if I went to high school now, I'd be fucking so awesome.
Yeah, doesn't everyone think about that all the
time? Wait, would you do a Never Been Kissed?
Yes.
Sitch?
Yes.
I'm trying to not fuck the teacher this time.
Well, let's.
I didn't fuck him. He jizzed on me. I didn't like it. I was not consenting.
But then it's also sad because then when you're actually around people who are 16, it's like, oh my God, I'm so old.
And then like that part of you that ignites where you're like, that little part of you that wants to impress a 16-year-old is the saddest. There's not a sadder part of a person's personality or body. The part that wants to impress a teenager. Oof. That's why some of these boys. you gotta release that part of you, okay? Release that. Not on them, please. But it's like Bonnie's daughter's, I think she's 15 now. She might be 16. But I mean, I just had to be like, why am I trying to get this? Like, why am I pandering to this child? She's awesome. She's cool. She don't need some friend of her mom's to be like.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't pander to my niece. She's 15. She's pretty cool.
Are you sure? Pandering, stealing her clothes.
Is she taller than you?
She's so much taller than me. Huger feet. Yeah, she's way bigger than me. Her room is so cool, though.
How old is she?
I think she's 15.
Oh, you're so funny. The less you know, the better.
For everyone's safety.
My nieces are coming.
Oh, that's right.
They're coming. They're surprising me. Because I always surprise them. So
yeah, I'm excited for
that. That's so cute.
They want to go on... I was like, should I take them on a mansion tour? They want to do like Hollywood things. So how cute is that? I'm going to take them to Rodeo Drive.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to take them on one of the tours up to the like celebrity houses, the map of the
stars. I've done that. It's so fun.
It's going to be so cute. I'll do the TMZ tour. And then we're going to Universal and stuff. It's so cute.
I love that.
I'm so excited. I have to like work on my acting skills. Like, oh my God, you're here?
You guys, this has been so much fun.
Ew, why are you sexual right now?
Flirting with you guys.
Oh.
Slugs, thank you so much for being here with us. We love you. You're our best friends forever. And we'll see you next week with a brand new episode.
Bye.
Bye-bye.